You may remain seated. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have risen and ascended into glory. Pray to the Father for us, that he would make his name known to us and through us, that we might share in the joy of eternal life with all who believe. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, our ascended Lord, Jesus Christ. In his name, dear fellow redeemed, Moses was asking for assurance. The setting was 1,500 years before Christ, where Moses appears before the Lord on the mountain of glory. God has commanded the people of Israel to make the deadly journey into the wilderness. He has told them to leave Egypt behind and go forth toward the promised land. Moses wants assurance that as they make this journey, God will be with them. And so he prays to his Lord, "Please show me your glory." The Lord responds with assurance. He responds with his glory. And yet he doesn't do it in the full revelation of his divine majesty, which would destroy any sinner. Instead, the way he reveals his glory is by proclaiming his name. We read in Exodus chapter 34, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." The Lord shows Moses his glory, and he does it by proclaiming his name. His name is more than a title. The name of the Lord is the special revelation of who he is and what he does. This is his glory, to know him as the Lord God, the God who is faithful to his covenant, who has mercy on us, is patient toward us, who forgives us, and at the same time will not leave unpunished any who reject his will and go after other gods. This is the glory of God revealed to Moses. And this is the glory that's now revealed through Jesus Christ, who prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." Jesus shows the glory of the Lord. He wants us to have that full assurance that as we make the journey, as we go to the place God has planned for us, we know he is with us. And the way he does this is by proclaiming God's name in an even fuller revelation than what Moses heard. In the flesh, he is God's work. And this is eternal life, that we know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Our upcoming Bible class series is on the topic of evangelism. It seems quite fitting then to consider what evangelism is all about. To evangelize is to announce who God is and what he has done. How he is merciful, how he is faithful, how he forgives and gives us eternal life. In short, the work of evangelism is to make God's name known. In other words, it is to glorify him. He is made known as the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ. His name is made known to the church in the world, and his name is made known to the world through the church. In this, he is glorified. I can recall an experience in high school. It was supposed to be a group project, and yet there was really only one person doing all the work. In the end, it was only one person that really put all the time, the labor in, and the rest of us were just signing on by name. And yet we all received the aid. Maybe you've had that experience, being involved in some kind of a project, coming up with some kind of idea, pouring hours of time and labor into something, only to have someone else come along and steal away the idea. Take credit for what you've done. You do all the work and someone else receives the credit. Jesus prays, "Father, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." To glorify God is to give him full credit for what he has done. To glorify God is to make his name known so that no one else can steal away what rightfully belongs to him. To show who he is and what he's done. To show the exchange that has taken place between the Father and the Son, who alone deserve full credit, full glory. The work of evangelism is to glorify God by making his name known as the one who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus reveals that this is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. This is his glory, that he would be known as the one who sent his Son, Jesus Christ. To change this truth in any way is to steal from God. To allow our works or our contribution in any way to take away from what Jesus has done is to rob him of the credit and participate in name only. Unfortunately, this is exactly what we do. Luther describes the first commandment with these words: "A God is that to which we look for all good and in which we find refuge in every time of need. As I have often said, the trust and faith of the heart alone make both God and an idol. If your faith and trust are right, then your God is the true God. On the other hand, if your faith and trust are wrong, then your God is an idol. For these two constitute your God, faith and to what the heart clings." When we find refuge or safety or satisfaction in anything other than God, we are stealing away from him. Even in the smallest way, this is idolatry. You see, every other god that the world has ever come up with is a thief. Whether it's the god Allah, who demands your works to satisfy his wrath, or it's the god of the American dream, which tells you that by money and possessions you can find security, happiness. Or it's the god within ourselves, where we think the choices we make and the future we plan are going to bring us what is good. Or it's the god of self-desire, where he tells us that we can find our satisfaction by the things that God doesn't intend for you. God is holding back, and by going outside of his bounds, you'll find what you're looking for. In each instance, we're stealing away what God has intended to give us, and we're following a false god. So quickly we realize the only one who really deserves to be called good, to have his name written across the top of this project, is God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can pray, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." In Jesus, God passes before us in glory. In Jesus, God proclaims who he is and what he does. He reveals his name. He proclaims the name of Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Hidden in this man, hidden in suffering, hidden in the cross, is the glory of God. The Lord, merciful and gracious, abounding in love and truth. The Lord God, who is faithful to his covenant for thousands, who forgives our sins, and yet in the same time doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. The same name revealed to Moses is revealed in Christ. In Christ, God forgives and punishes at the same time. He is both the God of love, which forgives you for all of your sins, and he is the God of justice, who doesn't leave sin unpunished. And in Christ, we find the work done. It is finished. God's name is written on it, and he wants your name on it also. He brings you into this project when you've done nothing to contribute to it, writes your name on it in baptism, and gives you everything Christ has done to finish the work for you. In this he is glorified, and this is eternal life, that you would know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Moses approaches that mountain of the Lord by himself. The people await his return, and it's Moses who goes to stand face to face with God himself and is praying that God would not abandon his people. Moses is a mediator. He stands in the presence of God, and then he returns with the name of the Lord to make it known to God's people. This becomes the work of Jesus. This becomes the work of the one who has ascended on high and who mediates and prays for you and makes his name, the name of God, known to the church. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. The work of evangelism is to make the name of the Lord known to the church which is in the world. He gives us what the Father has given to him. That is, he gives us his word and his gospel. He gives us all that he has done, and he continues to give. As the ascended Lord, he's present in the church through the word and through the sacraments. He makes himself known to you who are living in a hostile world, who are still here on earth in the wilderness, facing dangers, facing struggles, facing sins. And he makes his name known as the God who goes with you. So we gather here to hear the name of the Lord, to take it with us as we receive it in Holy Communion, as we take Christ with us into our struggles, into our sins, into the world. This is how he sustains us in the wilderness and leads us to the promised land of his resurrection. The work of evangelism is to glorify God by making his name known to the church in the world. This same glory of the Lord went with Israel. And do you know how it appeared to them? It was a cloud. The same cloud that descended on that mountain to Moses appeared to the children of Israel. It was by a cloud that God's glory went with them, a pillar of shining light, which rested on their place of worship. By that, God made a signal to all the world. He didn't just make his name known to Israel. He was showing all the world that this place of worship, where their sacrifices were offered, where they called upon his name, was the place where the true God was to be found. The work of evangelism is also to glorify God to the world through the church. The cloud of glory has come upon the church. Here, where Christ is proclaimed, we find the glory of God, the revelation of who he is and what he's done here among us. And so it becomes for us a beacon, a sign, a signal to all the world that this is Jesus Christ, who is given for you, who has risen and ascended on high. And so he prays, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Your presence in the world glorifies God. By it, Christ remains among us. Here you receive Christ through that proclamation of his name, through the reception of his sacraments, and there you go with him in you, with you, to make his name known to the world. It becomes for us a beacon, a signal, a calling to all the world that this is the name of the Lord. It's a testimony of the words you speak and the works you do in his name. By this, God is glorified. And so Luther would describe every Christian as a little Christ in the world. By your words and by your works, you proclaim that God is merciful, that he is forgiving, that he is slow to anger, that he's forgiving and faithful. You also proclaim that he in no way pardons the guilty. And so you find yourself in daily repentance, daily forgiveness, never approving of sin, whether it's something you've done wrong or it's something that's discussed at the water cooler or something that someone else has done to you. Whatever it might be, in constant repentance and forgiveness and the love you show in Christ's name, you make him known and he is glorified in you. Not everyone will receive this testimony, however. Not everyone will like what you have to say. Many will persecute you. The world is hostile, and Jesus knows it. And so we read from Peter, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. It sounds just like the cloud. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Some will hear you, some will not. Either way, God is glorified. The work of evangelism is to glorify God by making his name known. By making his name known as the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ. By making his name known to the church, which is in the world. And by making his name known to the world through the church. It's in that saving name that we again pray. Lord, be with us always, revealing your glory to us and in us. For your name's sake. Amen.